This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, I'm Tracy Koga, and thanks for downloading this podcast from ilikehugh.com. If you can, give us a follow or a subscribe. And remember that all the information about the guests in today's episode can be found at ilikehugh.com. Now, let's get started.
We have a fourth member sitting here today.
Special guest.
So cheers and welcome, Charlotte.
Thank you. Thank you. Cheers. Thank you for having me.
Well, hey, you know what? And no word of a lie, Charlotte has actually come out to two or three shows, mm-hmm. and you've had fun. You brought your daughter and her friends. Aww. The last one. Yeah. And you know what? I've waited this long to have you on, but I know this conversation is going to be so good. So let's just say Charlotte finds the good in everyone. Sorry, Susie, there is someone just like you out there. I know, someone just like you. But seriously, you're twin. No, but she really does. But I think her journey to being where she is now is part and parcel of who she is. You're going to share some really hard life experiences with her daughters and where she is now with robinpriest.com, Live Your Truth. She is the momager.
Yes, I am the mental health momager. And Robin is the chief nonconformist of our company. We have great names for our titles.
Right on.
Yes. Awesome.
You Lots to live up to.
Super. I mean, so we'll get into the whole website and online, and you brought a special guest who we will meet momentarily. But I think for right now, Charlotte, if you can share your story with Susie and Rana and all our listeners and viewers out there.
Yeah, I'm happy to. So if we had met 10 years ago and you would have said to me, in 10 years, Charlotte, you're going to be sitting here talking about mental health, I would say, no, that's
you're
not
nuts.
My world. Yeah, you're nuts. That's not my world. I was happily with, you know, two young daughters, and I sat on a bunch of boards in the city and supported my, I worked with my husband at the time and in real estate, and I had a really great life. And, but looking back, there was lots of signs that, you know, life wasn't as perfect as it was. My oldest, and I always like to say, children don't come with an owner's manual. So
No, they don't.
So she, you know, early on, she, you know, I would take her to school in the morning, a happy child, you know, when she was little, you know, and I'd get a call about 10:30 in the morning, and can you come back to school because, you know, she's really upset and we can't settle her. And you know, you look back and that was, you know, she had high anxiety, but... Mm-hmm. You know, the school said, oh, she's a visual learner, and she's just really sensitive. And
what age was that, Charlotte?
You know, it started, you know, kindergarten, grade one. And so what happened was I ended up volunteering at the school because I was going back four times, you know, a week.
Might as well stay
there. Right? And it gave me, I love to fundraise. And so I said, okay, well, I'll do your gala. And, you know, I might as well be here and help. And, you know, if she needs me, you know, I would check in. But, you know, like I said, she's my first child, so you're just thinking, okay. But at home, she was she had tons of confidence. But just at school, you know, it just wasn't, you know, as comfortable as she could have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then in middle school, she got bullied, and it was bullied through exclusion. Mm-hmm. And it was real trauma for her. Mm-hmm. And trauma looks different to everybody. Mm-hmm. So from trauma for one of us, you know, can be totally different. And and I always like to stress that no one can judge, you know, how a person is feeling in that situation. And for her, it was devastating. And that really huge change in her. She went very dark. She started to become very withdrawn. wouldn't go out. I always talked about, you know, she'd have a hoodie on and a dark makeup, and she would just, she would sit just, you know, like everything just about her just, was, you know, not recognizable. Mm-hmm. And saying to the doctors, you know, this isn't my child. Mm-hmm. Like, this really isn't my child. And, and this is teenage, you know, normal. And, but the, everything inside of me
everything
was
in your
saying,
gut was just like, you could feel that's not it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I talk a lot about, you know, go with your gut.
Absolutely.
You have to, and you're the best advocate for your child as a mom. And it's a fine line between being called a helicopter mom or overprotective mom or you're like too much emotionally involved. But when you're, everything's telling you that there's there's a problem, and there was a problem. So, you know, she chose some quite scary coping strategies. So she was a cutter. And you know, just whatever she could to get
that
pain
that,
to stop. Middle school it started.
Okay. So like 7, 8, is that middle school? Like
like 6, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Like hard years. So, you know, you've got this part where they're saying it's hormones and it's like just teenage angst. And
it's that plus other things,
So what happened was, you start trying to navigate the system here, and you know, you start asking your doctor and your school counselor, like, what can we do? And there's a whole bunch of shame that goes along with this because as a parent, you think, how could I have fucked this kid up so bad? And excuse my language, like,
just
you're just
feeling,
like, because you love them so much, but you're thinking, like, how is this happening? You know, and you feel a lot of shame from that. So, you, like I said, you go to the school counselors and you go to your pediatrician, and you start to realize that it's very hard to access help here in our city, and the wait list is crazy. And at the time back then, you know, there's not a lot of options that you could go to. It's an 18-month wait to see a psychiatrist.
Wow, that's a long time.
And if you can't afford a psychologist, or if you're, you know, you have a you know, a Blue Cross or whatever with your work, you get six sessions, you know, and then, you know, so that part was very scary. And in the end, when the system didn't work fast enough, in our opinion, we ended up taking her down for treatment to the States. She had tried to take her life a couple of times, and it was at that part, you know, you're just like, I can't not.
Yeah, we
and,
can't wait. Yeah.
And so, you know, we were fortunate enough to be able to take her down for treatment in the States. Hugely expensive. And people don't understand that in Canada, there is not a treatment facility for children who have mental health challenges. There is if they have an eating disorder or if there's an addiction, but when it's mental illness, there's nothing in Canada to treat a child.
Even today now?
No.
Is that still the case? No. There's still nothing?
No.
And we know that, that mental health goes alongside with other, you know, issues too.
So absolutely.
That's the most odd part of this whole thing.
Yeah, and you know, and Marley, I will argue with so many people. I said it always starts with something going on in your head, and you choose some unhealthy coping strategies, and then it's just easier to keep the unhealthy coping strategies.
That's right.
So if you could, you know, help these children at an earlier age, you know, we might not need so many adult treatment centers.
Yeah, so let's then talk about your work now. I mean, we'll talk more and lead you to this.
Well,
I mean, your journey, though, too, I guess, with your daughter and then getting her back on the healthy road, how did it change you?
Well, what was interesting is, which is a really great part of the story, and it's not a great part, but she was in treatment. And a lot of times what happens here, and not just here, but you're trying to fix the child. No, you go to counseling, you whatever, and fix, and then you come back. But we had to take a really hard look at our family and ourselves, and start taking some courses. So I was taking a few courses that I thought I was doing to help her, but in the end, I was really learning a lot about myself and some of the coping strategies that I was using that probably weren't as helpful to her. And how I carried my anxiety, and how that probably wasn't as helpful as it could have been for you know, around my children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you, do you like what are some like examples for that, just for people who are
You know what, so in the mornings, like for example, in the mornings, if you're, it's really, and it's, and I know it's hard because I mean I live it too, but if you can try to just keep a calm space when you start in the morning, and as an adult, if the first thing you do is you check your emails and you say, oh my God, I've got like 15 work emails I have to answer. Oh, that meeting got changed. So you're already hugely triggered by reading your email before you really start your day. So you're already kind of ramped up of all the stuff that you have to do. Now you're trying to hustle these kids off. And you're a little bit preoccupied because of what you've read. And I'm really trying not to read my emails first thing in the morning.
Absolutely.
Just to set a better tone for myself. And I think hindsight, you know, if I had done that, because that, because my day was always changing with what I did and the demands on that. So, and I'm not saying it was all my fault, but if you could just learn to keep it a little calm.
Yeah.
A lot of families, I'm hearing that they're doing gratitudes in the morning or they're doing some mindfulness with themselves and their children. So if you can do it, find something that works for all of you, especially if you have little kids. If you can start some of these, you know, more grounding exercises early on for both you and your child, you can be...
It makes it better.
Wow.
Yeah, it'd make a big difference. Yeah.
So now we already know mental illness, not a lot out there to help children.
No.
More and more mental illness being, you know, found in young children, like as young as 6 years old, whatever.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You kind of think, what stress does a six-year-old have? But
They have the stress of the household.
The
household.
They have the stress of the household.
Yeah, and their environment.
Yeah. And what's going on in the house, too. And
They can't articulate it, but they can feel it.
They can feel it. Yeah. And, and you know, in a lot of cases, you know, in the work that we do, you're seeing, you know, some domestic violence and really ramps up anxiety. We've seen them as young as four or five with high anxiety, these little kids. Some of the schools that we're working with. So what happened for me was when we brought Sarah back to Winnipeg, I was introduced to some people who have mental health challenges. And they lobbed onto Sarah and really started to help us understand her world. So they were people of lived experience. And so there was a couple, and I call them angels, and I have a few angels in my life, that just really started to hang out with her and spend time with her, and it was through an organization in Winnipeg, and it's called Peer Support. And it was amazing because what we started to learn was, okay, what was her mental health challenges and what was bad teenage behavior? Because I mean, she's smart, she can figure it out, she can play the mental health card and go, you know, oh, I'm so stressed, I need a new iPhone, and you fall for it because you're thinking, well, that's going to keep her here. I guess we're going to get a new iPhone. But you know what? Not to say that, you know what, but it was a huge, huge lifesaver. And but what would have been better back then would have been a parent to talk to me, who had been through it,
the same experience,
because who had walked in similar shoes, and to have said, "Listen, you know what? You're not the worst parent. I've been through similar, and I'm giving you hope because you know what? We're still here." And that, you know, we like to say bumpy is good. That whole bumpy is good. You know, embrace your life and you know, we'll help you figure it out. So I changed careers and talked to my business partner to move to Canada. She's Australian.
That's a big sell.
And you'll meet
she
her.
She casually talked her business partner.
We were at a peer conference in Calgary a couple of years ago, and I'm like, we need to start a business, and you need to move to Winnipeg. And she's like, okay. And it was funny because she has the lived experience side of our business. She's amazing. She's worked in 10 countries. She's been implementing peer support in, like I said, 10 countries. The Mental Health Commission of Canada hired her to, she did a, there's, it was called mental, Making a Case for Peer Support, and she got to do all the focus groups across Canada. So she started in St. John, and she ended up in Whitehorse, and she interviewed all the peer organizations. And so she's got the street cred. And I just thought, you know what, she really needs to be here in Canada because we need a lot more peer support. So she has the lived experience of someone who has mental health challenges.
and I bring the parent caregiver side.
Wow. So your focus is on that adult or young adult, that youth.
I talk to parents. Okay. No, yep. We talk to pretty much. So we implement peer support.
But the peer support is for the...
It's for actually anybody. Okay. So we do a lot of work in nonprofit organizations, mental health
organizations. So business is mental health and mental wellness.
Mental wellness,
And but they do, like, I'll have to interject too.
Yeah, I know, because this is my passion.
I know, this is her passion.
My passion is the
parent. So it's really girls, like, bringing the whole mental illness situation in the open, and they have these online courses.
Yeah, we do.
And they have this team that either have the lived experience of dealing with mental illness issues,
and can do that,
or have a family member and have been, on, knowing what the signs are and knowing how to have gone through it. So I think the big part of it is that all of the people on their team have that lived experience.
Yeah. So in our business, what we do is we do a lot of work on online, and we have what Kristen and I are most excited about is we're launching in January an online parent support group, and it's through the Zoom platform. Yeah. So you can choose to.
We know Zoom.
Yeah, I love Zoom.
We know about Zoom.
And the great part is you can choose to show your face, or you can choose to not.
Right.
You can participate, or you cannot, or you can just listen. Yeah. So there's no judgment.
Sorry, Charlotte. This is parents?
Yeah, but parents can be caregivers and they can be grandparents. So we're finding a lot of, it's whatever your family looks like.
The
For Kirsten and I, we talk to parents.
Okay.
We have lots of other people who work with us that talk to individuals, or, we've got some young people who do peer support for the young ones. But that our wheelhouse is talking to parents. Wow. So that's where we're most.
Jump into the conversation, Kirsten.
Sure.
If you want to share, first of all, share your story on how you came together, and I guess your personal story.
Yeah, well, my story is very similar to Charlotte's. Charlotte and I always say we should have met about 8 years ago. Charlotte's a little more ahead of myself, and I have two beautiful daughters, and I have one daughter who has struggled with complex mental health issues since she was about 11. And after being in the system in Manitoba and Winnipeg for some time, or a few years, we made the decision to leave Canada and find a higher level of care because, as Charlotte says, if you're an adolescent, let's say 15 years old, and unless you have an addiction or a severe eating disorder, because that was part of our story as well, where you needed to be hospitalized, there's no long-term treatment. No long-term care, no inpatient long-term care.
In Canada. Yeah.
Canada.
So, and just a side note on that, should I go into that very briefly, Charlotte?
Yes, because it's really important.
Very briefly. Yeah. So my story changed government policy here in Manitoba. Wow. And once my daughter was safe and our house was up for sale to pay for the very expensive cost of long-term treatment, I got to know the Minister of Health, and through lobbying the Minister of Health, I was able to change policy and apply for out-of-province funding as a parent, because until then you had to be a physician. And so upon my application that I put together for 3 months at my dining room table, I won. So we were the first adolescent in Manitoba to be funded to leave our province, because we could prove that we've exhausted all resources. Such treatment doesn't exist. It was a life-threatening condition. And likely she would not have survived.
How long ago was this?
That was 4 years ago.
So now have other parents come forward and applied?
So I like to call Kirsten the Erin Brockovich of our city. But actually our country, because since... what Kirsten has been able to do since then, we have now helped.
I actually lost count, to be honest, but I'm going to say 16.
That's amazing.
That's a huge amount of people.
And we've done three different provinces, and we just had our first Jordan's Principal. So child goes down fully funded.
Yeah, I do the process for them. I get approached by not only parents, but by physicians.
Yeah,
MLAs.
Yeah, and the head of psychiatry's. Yeah, so we're getting
And I taught fitness for 21 years, and I used to boss around a group of people, and then all of a sudden I changed careers. But and that's how Charlotte and I found each other. So,
and how's your daughter now?
My daughter's doing really, really well. Oh, my whole family is doing
exactly.
well. Because if you have a child or yes. somebody in your family mm-hmm. who's struggling, yeah. Your whole family mm-hmm. is, like Charlotte said, yeah. you're struggling.
You're only as happy as your yeah. as you're yeah. sad as a child, right?
How is your husband through all of this?
We're still married. I'm really lucky. My husband has been completely on board with everything we have done. We've been mm-hmm. very much a team. Whereas yeah. Charlotte and I see a lot of families that don't make
split.
A huge set.
Yeah. yeah.
So we were
it's
really
hard.
Lucky.
Yeah.
When I told him we have to sell our house. Mm-hmm. It took him a day, but he did come back, and I was mm-hmm. like, you're right. Mm-hmm. We need
yeah.
to sell our house.
Wow. So when you said it was life-threatening, I know, Charlotte, you kind of intimated with Sarah, yeah. she was a cutter, and mm-hmm. so for your daughter...
You know, my daughter tried to take her life more than once, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. my daughter self-harmed in many ways, physical self-harm with cutting or burning, but also with anorexia, mm-hmm. and ultimately, at the end of the day... Mm-hmm. My daughter is completely symptom-free, and she lives with bipolar disorder, and she is doing amazing.
Right.
However, that's a very difficult thing to mm-hmm. diagnose in mm-hmm. adolescence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately, but it wasn't until she was 18 that
yeah.
that diagnosis, which was a game changer,
yeah.
Was finally brought into play. Mm-hmm. So we're so... Lucky.
Mm.
And she is such an incredible, talk about humanity.
Incredible.
She's going to do amazing things. And she's just an incredible young lady. Not only that daughter, but my other daughter who witnessed
all of this.
You know,
yeah.
what happened in our home
yeah.
and what we went through, who, you know,
lived through
all of
it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that in itself is a story of humanity.
Yeah. yeah.
But I think, you know, the great part is that both of you now are working towards to helping. So that's
yeah.
16 other kids, right?
Sense,
that,
yeah.
that now have the opportunity mm-hmm. to have a full life.
Yeah.
Whereas
and we're not stopping there.
No.
No.
We're not stopping there. But mm-hmm. also the piece, I call it a parallel process.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a child struggles, what happens to a parent is absolutely heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's probably double.
Health,
oh, your own mental health.
Really suffers.
So you said that you taught gym at your fitness class. And I mean, that's, you know, everybody says mental
that's
wellness, fitness.
Wellness.
For yourself.
Yeah, for myself, you know, for my experience was for the first couple of years I had a secret because I didn't want anyone to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Not because of my ego, but because that was, I wanted to protect my child.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then because hers also, her struggles also were very physical because of, you know, self-harm and anorexia.
Yeah.
You know, it was impossible to hide that, right? So lots of people... I took judgment from a lot of people. A lot of people like to talk and
mm-hmm.
all that. So
yeah.
Then I spent some time figuring out how did I cause this? Everybody else is doing so great, and how come, you know, what did I do wrong as a parent?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to, and so another few years go by, and you get to a point where you're like, this is not a parenting issue.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
those who judged us in the past aren't very bright.
Yeah,
yeah.
No,
right? So,
yeah.
So we've been through the gamut, and then and our little family is just so close, and we're so blessed. And family
yeah.
actually even shifted a little bit for us. Although my little family is still very tight, but
yeah.
people that you thought were really good friends
mm-hmm.
and distant
imagine.
Family
yeah.
Weren't there for you, and then people who were. They became your family,
mm-hmm.
so it's quite interesting. But it's a parallel process,
mm-hmm.
and as your child goes on their journey towards
mm-hmm.
wellness,
yeah,
a parent also needs support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
yeah.
they have been through a lot, and they are running on empty, and they need to sit across from a table and look at someone who they feel looks like they have it all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and their daughter is clearly, or son is clearly. In a place of health,
mm-hmm.
and the hope that you get from that is
it's huge.
Is huge,
mm-hmm.
And that's what Charlotte and I do today.
Yeah.
We love to talk with parents, own our story, and you can own a story without getting into details.
No.
You know?
And there's, I think, with both of you, a sense of trust,
mm-hmm.
which I think must be really key
yeah.
for mm-hmm. anybody, you know, that's vulnerable and coming to yeah. you with this problem, is that they mm-hmm. have to trust yeah. you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's huge confidentiality. Kirsten and I run into people that we've been working with, and we always wait for them to approach us if we're out in public, and because mm-hmm. You don't, because they're in their journey and
yes.
where they want to be.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the one thing is, because Kirsten and I remember those days. In my story, Sarah ran away, and it was very public in our city. So at that point, our family little secret was out, and we were doing whatever we could to save her at that time, and so that was the point when I started to be able to come forward. But for a lot of families, they're still hiding mm-hmm. that shame. Mm-hmm.
How do we get over it? Like, well, this is like 2020. You know, we talk about everything.
Well, we like to talk about you know, breaking down the stigma of mental illness
yeah,
and talking
yeah.
about mental health on a continuum. Mm-hmm. Everybody has mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have our bad days and we have our good yep. days, and you fall somewhere in the middle. And if we can start having more and more open conversations around that, and also just, you know, just trying to be open and honest mm-hmm. with your struggles and what's going on at home. And a lot of times people just assume the mental health challenges are you personally, but there's so much going on at home. Like, we mm-hmm. have friends who are caregiving for their senior parents, mm-hmm. and they've got, you know, mm-hmm. young children yes. that they're trying to raise,
yep.
and
yes.
they are stressed to the nines.
Oh, like, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and there's lots of stuff like that. And if we can just be, you know, supportive and understanding, and just say, hey, what's going on for mm-hmm. you, and how can we support you?
I think part of the stigma, it just comes from judgment, right? So
yeah.
people who have never walked a few steps in those shoes just think, well, this will never happen to me. And it's just
yeah.
like, don't think that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
nobody is, everyone is vulnerable to these
you know, oh, absolutely.
Incidents on the
yeah.
spectrum.
Yeah.
yeah.
And you can do everything.
Of course you can.
Completely.
Yeah. And that, you know, to me, again, that comes back, especially for mothers, that we are always
yes.
under scrutiny
exactly.
and always subject to judgment about
yeah.
whatever it is that we're doing with our kids, whether it's right, wrong, whatever. And as opposed to just saying, you know what, I don't know what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it's a hard time.
Yes.
What can I do for you?
Yeah.
Can
yeah.
I take your other child today? Can I bring you groceries? Can I come wash your
Absolutely.
Dishes? Whatever
yeah.
it is, right, is,
yeah.
is to not judge.
Yeah.
But to say, what can yeah. I do for you while
how
you are in trouble?
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
I don't know what you're going through, but there must be something I can do
yeah.
to help you right now.
So I think, having
this
said that, we all need to go and ask how each other are and help each other along the way. You know what? Thank you so much, Charlotte.
It's an
yes.
amazing story.
Yes. Yes.
So appreciate
you.
You.
Thank you.
Yes, robincrease.com is the website.
Yeah.
Live your truth, and you
yeah.
can talk to either Charlotte or Kristen, thank you so much
and
for sharing.
Reach out. Share it with your friends.
Reach
out.
Reach out.
People.
Yeah.
Please reach out.
This conversation doesn't...
Yes,
come back to
yes.
the
yes.
people.
Yeah.
Cheers,
love
you guys.
Like
us.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Continue
thank
the conversation.
So
thank you.
Thank you, Kristen.
That's it.
Thanks for listening. This has been a production of ilikehugh.com. Podcast distribution from the Sound Off Media Company. What happens when we play outside? We become healthier, both mentally and physically. We become more creative and more focused. We connect with nature, each other, and ourselves. Let's Take This Outside, a new podcast hosted by me, Marianne Iveson, an aspiring outdoor athlete and nature lover. I speak to athletes, outdoor professionals, and scientists about their connection to nature, how it affects their performance and everyday life. Let's Take This Outside, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and at letstakethisoutside.ca.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.
Another Sound Off Media Company podcast.